Your name?
Mike Golash.
Mike Golash. One rally is, well, still going on. Folks might be able to hear a massive rally for nurses at Washington Hospital Center. Any comments you have on that? But I really want to focus on a rally that's coming up on Thursday for Metro workers. But I guess we can start with your comments on today's nurses rally.
Well, we see the nurses rally here as part of the same fight we're involved in. That's why we're here supporting it. Basically, there's a general attack going on workers' unions, workers' rights all across the country. And we're here to support the nurses and their fight and look forward to their support in our struggle at Metro.
It was a massive turnout today.
Yes, it was a very large turnout. It shows widespread support from the nurses, not only from the union itself, but also from other workers in the region. It's a good thing.
Talk about Thursday, there's going to be an action outside of Metro. You're a longtime Metro employee, recently retired. A lot of those issues maybe haven't been flushed out in a lot of ways, but instead the coverage tends to be, oh, Metro is so terrible, over and over again. That seems to be the general theme running through much of the media coverage of very serious issues that are really not discussed maybe in enough detail.
Right. I mean, basically, Metro was always portrayed in the press as a company or as a governmental agency which needs massive subsidies from the local government. The reality is Metro is an engine of the economic development of this region. It creates value in the region. And all we as workers who want a decent wage and benefits are asking is for our share of that value that we're created. And this rally that we're having next Thursday on March 10th at Jackson Graham is basically directed at the Metro Board and the federal government, demanding that they honor our contract, that they honor the arbitration award, which gave us a pay raise and protected our pensions, and that the money for that come from the taxes on the businesses that prosper because of Metro's existence, and from the federal government, who we provide a tremendous service to by transporting about 30 to 40% of their workforce to and from work on a daily basis.
Let's take those one at a time. The businesses who benefit from Metro, explain that.
Well, think about the Verizon Center. Every day, almost, the Verizon Center is filled with people for a sporting event, for a rock concert, for an exhibition, for a horse show, or for some other event. The Verizon Center seats about 18,000 people. There's no way that the Verizon Center could be filled if it was not for Metro. That creates tremendous amount of value for Mr. Leonis, the owner of the Verizon Center. Some of those extra profits that he makes because of Metro's presence should be directed to supporting the transit system. The same way with Ted Lerner at the National Stadium. The same way with White Flint Mall, with Pentagon City. All these businesses prosper and have additional profits because of the presence of Metro in close proximity to their operations. All we're saying is they have to pay their fair share for the value we create for them.
And the federal government?
Well, of course, the federal government gets 30 to 40% of its workforce transported to work on a daily basis. While it's true, they subsidize the fares for those government employees, but those fares do not cover the cost of the service we provide to the federal government. So we need an additional subsidy, or an additional payment, actually, for those services to make up the difference between the cost of the service and the fare that we collect from government employees.
As Metro experiences difficulties, when it was founded, instead of being, what, four tracks, the subway system, it was two. And there's all, from day one, my understanding is there hasn't been the commitment to proper funding. And instead of discussing the lack of funding for infrastructure and the real needs, a lot of attention gets drawn to particular Metro employees and this blaming the union, which we've seen, I guess, an extreme example of in Wisconsin with Scott Walker.
Right. as I said earlier, Metro creates value for the region. Metro needs more money invested in it to create more value. It has very little to do with the wages and benefits of employees. The value we create is far in excess of the wages that we are paid. Like you raised about the track situation, it makes Metro a relatively inefficient system because of the fact when a train breaks down, it creates a tremendous delay because there's no way for a second train to get around that unless you stop the oncoming traffic. If you think about New York City, where they have 4 lanes on most of their subway system, you can have express trains and you can have an easy way around a broken down train. It makes for a much more efficient system, and therefore in terms of passengers carry, they can be carried at a lower cost. Metro does not have that. And almost in every instance for the last 35, 40 years that Metro has been existing, it's been underfunded. The capital money has just not been there to create the type of system that will work efficiently and effectively. Right now, Metro is suffering from a $2 to $3 billion investment deficit because the local governments and the federal government would not put up that money to invest in the system. Matter of fact, Congress now is talking about even reducing the amount of capital investment that was scheduled to be given to Metro over the next 10 years. This will only make the situation worse, and as time goes on, make it unsafe even for the riding public as well as the people that operate the system.
Mike Golesh, as Thursday, the action, one of the demands is that, you know, Metro workers pay be increased, and I think some of the reporting may be, well, that's has to be then made higher fares and ever higher fares. But as you've pointed out, there are other sources for revenue for Metro, so it's not necessarily Metro employees versus riders.
Right. Our union has a long history of fighting to maintain service, to expand service, to make it better for the riding public. And we also have a long history of opposing fare increases. Our feeling is that the extra money needed to operate Metro should come from those businesses who are making tremendous profits off of it. Like I said earlier, the Verizon Center, the real estate developers, the shopping malls. These guys are pocketing millions and millions of dollars. And by their refusing to make proper payments to Metro through the local governments, Metro runs a deficit. It's similar to what's going on in Wisconsin. Last year in Wisconsin, the government reduced corporate taxes by about $150 million. This year in Wisconsin, because of those tax reductions, the budget deficit is about $153 million. So what do? Do they say, okay, we made a mistake. We should have kept those taxes on the corporations. No, they come after the workers. We're going to reduce your collective bargaining rights. We're going to make you pay more for your pensions. We're going to make you pay more for your health insurance. They try to solve their monetary problems on the backs of working people, and that's got to stop.
Metro, the union, has a history of significant strikes. There hasn't been one in, I guess, the last several years, but there's a history here of if negotiations don't go well, this is a union that has the capability of striking.
That's correct. We haven't had a strike since 1978. Metro this year is refusing to honor an arbitration award, which was handed down in November of 2009. They've been challenging it in court. The last time Metro challenged an arbitration award was in 1978, when they refused to pay cost of living raises, which had been provided for in an arbitration award 2 years earlier. When Metro announced that, the union announced that it was not going to work unless those increases were paid. As a result of Metro's intransigence, there was a 6-day strike, which shut down the city, shut down the bus and rail system, and eventually Metro paid the wage increases, the cost of living increases that they were obligated to by that arbitration award.
Mike Golesh, any final thoughts you want to share, and what's your message to Metro for Thursday's action?
Well, our message to Metro on Thursday is that they better make a careful calculation. They're trying to save $12 million in a wage increase for us. the other side of the equation is if we shut the system down for 4 or 5 days to achieve that goal, even if we're unsuccessful, it will cost the transit system, the regional businesses, the local governments, $100 to $200 million in lost revenue and lost business. So Metro had better stop and think, is it worth trying to save $12 million and at the same time put at risk hundreds of millions of dollars of lost revenue for the local governments, the local businesses, and the transit agency itself?
Thanks so much.
Okay.